Welcome to Culinary Convo. I am your host, Devin Ream. The coffee is poured and your spot at the table is open. I've got my mise en place, and if your mind is open, let us begin. Hey, everybody. Welcome to United Foods of America. I got buddy of the pod on, Joel. How's it going,
hello,
Joel?
Hello. How's it going? It's Joel in the house. Bam, 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 bam.
Add the air horns. Yeah.
So I'm here to have fun and talk about food.
Yeah.
I hear.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's both. It's food and drink.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I love drinks. I love drinks. As long as they have alcohol in them.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Other than water, if it's a drink, you know, like coffee, I guess. Other than water and coffee, or tea, if that is your preference.
Yeah. I don't like either of them.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah, everybody at home, you don't like coffee or tea. And that, I'm not going to lie, the last time you visited, that bothered me. That, like, it made me upset.
It bothers me every day of my life. I have to live with it.
How do you live? How do you do this?
Not well.
How do you wake up every day without those drugs that we all take?
I don't know. It's just the sunshine hits my face and I'm like already smiling, you know?
Just like your image here, you're like a big old tree.
Yeah, you're exactly. Like, I photosynthesize. That's how I do it.
Yep. Oh, man. I tell you. Well, speaking of photosynthesizing and sunshine, and we're in the great sunflower state, Kansas.
Ooh.
Welcome to Kansas. Hi. Yeah.
It sounds derogatory when you give them that, like, that voice immediately. Welcome to Kansas.
I just imagine Kansas being a lot of older white folk. That is, and Native American tribes. That's.
Yeah, they got a couple of them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
I'm sure it'll be great, and I'm sure it's going to be a very diversified portfolio of delicious foods and libations.
Well, let's take a look. So, yeah. So, first thing on our agenda here, you've got the good old horse feather. Yeah, it's a cocktail consisting of rye whiskey, Angostura, lemon juice, sometimes only lemon zest, and typically ginger beer. The ingredients are poured into a glass filled with ice, and the mix is stirred until chilled. The drink is served in a highball. Horse feather is a twist on horse's neck, a classic cocktail that hails from the 1800s. It definitely originated in Kansas, but it is sometimes disputed whether it was invented in Kansas City or Lawrence, Kansas. Though most honor Lawrence as its hometown. The cocktail was first mentioned in the Bartender's Bible in 1991 by Gaz Regan. It was initially called Horse Feathers, and it consisted of blended whiskey, ginger ale, and a dash of bitters. So, yeah.
I'd give it a try.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd love it, because it's just like whiskey and beer and all the other things, but those are never like those are kind of on my list of like alcohols that I usually avoid.
Right.
But I would try it because of all the other things. It sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, the thing that I'm trying to figure out, like the ginger ale and whiskey, I do that all the time. But adding bitters, I could make horse feather all the time. Like,
you could.
Yeah. I always figure ginger ale and whiskey, especially I drink Jack Daniels. It's beautiful. Basically, it's like a Jack Daniels soda. That's what it tastes like. It's a good old whiskey soda. It's so good.
Sounds like it'd be right up your alley.
Yeah, exactly. I just add some bitters and I'm like, oh, I'm having a horse feather. This weekend is the Kentucky Derby.
I wanna try and order a horse neck from somewhere and them just like look at me weird.
Yeah.
Like, what? And like, really? Oh, horse feather is what I meant. And they'll be like, oh, okay. Like, I can't believe all you 19th century babies don't even know what's going on. Not from the 19th century. Hmm? You're not down to clown with the 19th century. Hmm?
Yeah. Well, you don't like vests.
Vests. Vests. Yeah, when I think of the 1800s, I think of vests for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But no, it's like, yeah, you're like, can I have a horse's neck? They're like, I don't know what that. You're like, oh,
no clue my what God. You're talking about, okay. Boss.
Horse feather. They're like, oh, yeah, no, like the Kansas drink. You're like,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. If sure. you know it by that name,
I guess absolutely. You can call it that.
Yeah. But the next one here, something that might go good with a horse feather, a stamen apple. Yeah, they have
stamen.
I know. Apple? I've never heard of these. Me and Joel both grew up in Missouri. We're right next door to Kansas. I have no idea what a stamen apple is.
No, never heard of it.
Yeah, stamen apples is an American apple variety that was developed in 1866. So that might be one reason why in Kansas by Joseph Stamen. Hence the name. The apples are known for their striking red, green, yellow color. So like a rainbow.
All three.
Yeah. Yeah, the texture of the flesh is firm, crisp, and juicy, while the flavors are robust, spicy, sweet, and tart. So it's got every flavor, every skin color of an apple.
What in the world? I want one.
Exactly. Yeah. It's recommended to eat stamen apples in their raw and fresh form as a snack or use them in pies. The apples also make for a nice addition to blended cider, and they're usually available in early October. Yeah.
There we go. Back to the accent that I don't believe describes anybody from Kansas.
No. No, probably not. I mean,
yes, can we?
It's like prospector, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
They're like, I went mining for gold.
It's like, well, oh, mining for gold. Okay. California, never heard of it.
Colorado Mountains, haven't been.
Nope. Kansas, actually. From Kansas.
Yeah, from Kansas. Originally Sunflower State, you know. man. But yeah, the next one here, we got, oh yeah, this is like a big deal. The Z-Man. That's right.
What?
Z-Man, yeah, it's a big deal.
Nerd.
It is an American burger originating from Kansas City. It consists of a split Kaiser roll that's filled with sliced smoked brisket, smoked provolone cheese, onion rings, and barbecue sauce. This burger was invented at a barbecue joint called Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Jeff, the owner, went to Zarek, a sports talk show host on a local radio station, and asked him to talk about this new burger. The listeners chose the name as they began regularly asking for that Z-Man sandwich on the air, referring to Zarek, who had begun calling himself Z-Man not long before. Sounds like a marketing ploy.
I want to be that cool.
I know,
where I could
right?
just, like, I have something, and then it says,
yeah.
You know what? I'm going to get rid of my name, call myself the J-Man.
J-Man. Have the D-Train fries. I'm like, whoa.
Yours is a great name to use for that.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah, the D-Man. The D-Man, the D-Train.
D-Man.
D-Whistle.
God.
Eventually, the name stuck, and the burger was even proclaimed to be the best sandwich in Kansas by Zagat and one of 50 sandwiches to eat before you die by Thrillist.
I love that.
Yeah.
Anything that's on a list of things to do before you die, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, exactly. You got to have it. That's going to be the thing. I mean, because everyone knows that right before you die, pretty much every doctor is like, what's the last thing you want to eat?
Well, also that, though, but like it becomes like a countdown. You're like,
right.
I'm on number 46 out of 50. Only more to go.
Only four more to go. Your heart's
so
just like,
good. Thump, thump. Yeah. Exactly. It just gets you excited for the end result. Like, I'm almost done with my list.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it to the last one.
Oh, man. The next one here, which might be, I think, we'll see if you've had it, Joel. I know I've had it, but it's definitely not like the one that I have pictured here, but a cheeseburger pie. Cheeseburger pie is a savory American pie that's especially popular in Kansas, the biggest producer of beef in the United States. It's usually made with a combination of ground beef, onions, cheddar cheese, cornstarch, sour cream, milk, egg, salt, pepper, and pie crust. The meat and cheese are cooked with the other ingredients, and the resulting mixture is then poured into pie shells. The pie is baked until golden brown and puffy. It's usually served as a simple and comforting weeknight meal. And the one that I'm looking at, it's got like tomatoes and like lettuce and avocado or something on the top of it, right? They're trying to make it look like, oh,
yeah, like really fancy.
It
yeah.
could be a burger. It's like, not really.
It's a bougie burger.
Yeah, I remember having this, and they did like one of those, like, I don't know what you would call it, like a sauce where it was ketchup and mustard, and they just went back and forth on the top. And so you see like yellow and red, and you're like, well, what is this? And you see the pie crust, and then they cut into it, and they're like, it's cheeseburger pie. And you're like, oh, cool. And then they like throw pickles in it or something, you know, and you're like, oh, well, okay. Yeah, I guess it kind of tastes like a cheeseburger, but can we just have cheeseburgers? Like, why are we playing with our food this way? What is going on with this? Why?
I mean, like, it sounds good. Yeah. Like, you shove all that stuff into a pie, but it's just like, I mean, it's not revolutionary in any means.
It's basically a beef quiche. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
It's just a beef quiche. I guess they wanted a better name. they're like, yeah, we can't call it beef quiche. Call it a cheeseburger.
Sounds so silly. Yeah. Call it a cheeseburger pie.
Yeah. And then in typical Kansas form, they said, you know what? We make pies, you know, we make cheeseburger pies. We have a Z-Man sandwich or burger, but it doesn't have a ground beef patty. What are we going to do in terms of an actual hamburger, right? And somebody along the line in Kansas said, we need to have sliders. Yeah, that's right. They made the slider. Although many people might think so, the famous slider is not just a small hamburger. Yeah, it is. It's a small hamburger.
Yeah, it's a small hamburger.
Don't lie to us. Why did? And I say don't lie to us. These are all so far coming from Taste Atlas, an amazing website, tasteatlas.com.
That's lying to us.
Yeah, it's lying to us right now. But yeah, but a very specific food item. First of all, a small ball of ground meat. So already they're starting off saying small. Is smashed on a well-oiled griddle until very thin, accompanied by onions, which fry into the meat during the cooking process. I believe we call that an Oklahoma onion burger, including the slider bun, which absorbs the aromas. Okay, so it's like White Castle. While it seems, yep. Originally slider was a term describing small burgers at White Castle. Oh.
That's what I've been thinking the whole time. I'm like, yeah. White Castle does this.
Yeah. But yeah, so you have to make room for new meat patties while White Castle says it's because they slide out of their boxes with ease. Originally, slider was a term describing small burgers at White Castle restaurants throughout the United States. Interestingly, on January 14th, 2014, Time Magazine described the White Castle slider as the most influential burger of all time.
Huh.
Wow. Okay. I would say White Castle restaurants in general are the most influential. I don't know if the burger was it. You don't see a lot of small burgers everywhere.
No, exactly.
But the way the restaurant was, they wore the white caps, the white clothes, because they wanted to show how clean it was. It was a White Castle. It was fast food, had the drive-through. So I think they were very influential, but I don't think it was because of their sliders. I love their sliders. I could eat 80 of them.
The sliders were like literally just like the vehicle for their influence. They're just like, oh my gosh, look at this. It's very picturesque and like, you know, it's something that you can theme around, but then it's like, it's still White Castle. Like,
right.
And with everything that entails, just, it's whatever. I shouldn't judge too hard. It's a cool idea, I guess. It's a small burger.
Yeah, way to go, Kansas. Awesome.
That's what that miniaturization is. Of things, like, it works, though. It does work.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. If somebody has a muffin-sized thing of lasagna, I'm on it.
It's genius.
Yeah. Like, brilliant. And yet, if I get a slider, I'm disappointed.
mini tacos?
Yeah.
That's love. Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Super fun.
Just like, it works.
Yeah, it does. And speaking of small things that pack a big punch, we got next here, burnt ends. That's right.
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff, though.
Oh, man, burnt ends. Oh, I think if somebody came to me, like, I don't know, probably right after having a child, and said, listen, we are going to allow you to have burnt-ins for the rest of your life, and your body are not, it's not going to be affected. You can just keep eating burnt-ins.
That's like a wish that you'd give to a genie.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, do I have to give up my firstborn child? Or like, I mean, you don't
There's a reason
have
you're
to.
Coming to me with this now, right?
Exactly. Yeah. They're like, not like right now, but like if your firstborn child becomes very successful, like if they have a net worth of more than $2 million a year, we then get to have, I'm like, deal. But burnt ends, they are a delicious specialty originating from Kansas City. The name refers to the unusually shaped, tougher, fattier end pieces of barbecued brisket, which were served as appetizers, placed into stews, or given to customers free of charge. What?
What in the world? I hate it here. Yeah. Why do we live in the year 2022 of our Lord? When
boomers,
they used to just give away burnt ends.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you look a bit peachy. Here, have another burnt end. Nobody cares about those.
Yeah, like that's the most delicious part of the meat.
Yeah, yeah. These smoky burnt ends captured melted fat during the barbecue process, making them incredibly flavorful. Nowadays, they are a staple menu item in the city, usually served cubed on their own or smothered in barbecue sauce. Burnt ends can also be used in sandwiches or combined with baked beans and french fries.
Dang.
I want that right now.
It's so good.
It is.
Like, it's. I'm sorry, but if you're having, like, meat, especially of, like, if you're having, like, cow or, like, another ruminant, like, the fat is where the flavor comes from.
Yeah.
So, I mean, ugh, I can't Fat's stand it when at. People are like, give me a lean cut. I'm like, no. What?
Yeah.
I want the marbling of a god.
I want something to grip onto. That's what I want. I want something my teeth can sink in and go.
That's what I've been telling myself. The fatter I get, I'm just like, I'm just more delicious.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm more that someone can grab onto. You know what I mean?
Just
it's like, yeah.
Packing on the pounds for a cannibal to meet someday.
Yeah. Winter's going to be very cold.
It is going to be very cold. Yeah, I totally agree.
It's going to be very cold. You're going to want something to grip onto. And you'll want burnt ends that don't affect your body in any way. And then my kid's like, why do you get this all the time? I'm like, don't talk to me. I have to learn to leave you now.
Why did you name me Burnt Ends?
Why'd you name me B.E. Ream? I'm like, just listen. You need to stop asking so many questions and just get to work, all right?
Go back and do your homework, B.
Yeah. Let it be.
Let it be, B. I'm busy with my burnt ends.
My burnt ends.
No relation.
Daddy's got to eat his fat meat.
Oh, gosh. So yeah. Kansas came up with that. Well, you know what? Thank you, Kansas. That's great of you.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
Thank you, Kansas. Then you got the next one here, good old Kansas City style barbecue. I mean, this is a
world famous.
It is world famous.
World famous.
And it's tough because it's like Kansas City is Kansas and Missouri, right? So it's kind of like which side was really pushing who here, right?
Yeah.
You know. But anyway, the barbecue.
I'm going to go with socialism and say everybody had a part.
Yeah, we're going to say that Kansas City County and both sides had
they worked together to create this great concoction.
Community. Community-driven action. Made barbecue. It's like, man. So barbecued meat is the gastronomic passion of the so-called world capital of barbecue, which I think is true. I think it's the capital.
Too.
Also known as Kansas City, barbecued pork ribs, flavorful slices of hot or cold beef brisket, or a pig salad of succulent pulled pork. Those are just some of the delicacies of the Kansas-style barbecue. I love that they call it pig salad. Why?
Delicious.
I do. Oh, man.
It's my favorite kind.
Yeah, love me some pig salad. Oh, man. Yeah, the barbecue craze dates back to around 1908 when Henry Perry, an African-American chef, first started slow cooking pork ribs over oak and hickory, drizzling them with sauce consisting of molasses, chilies, and tomatoes. He served the meal in newspaper and sold it for 25 cents a piece.
Dang!
25 cents a piece. Ugh, and the consumers' acceptance and love of barbecue meat went better than expected. Of course it did, Henry. Like, my gosh, serving burnt ends. But yeah, every October, barbecue lovers from all around the world gather to Kansas City for the American Royal Barbecue Competition, launched in 1980. It challenges about 600 teams against each other in categories such as chicken, pork ribs, pork shoulder, sausage, and beef brisket. And those who aim for the Great Champion title must barbecue in all categories. With its four-day cook-off, rodeos, horse shows, and feasting on meat at vendor stalls, Kansas City is a barbecue capital worthy of its name. So, yeah. Kansas City is... all I know about Kansas City is that if you challenge someone in a barbecue-off type of thing, and it's got, like... You got people from Carolinas doing mustard sauces... You got folks from the South who want to do a lot of like vinegar based type sauces and those kinds of things. And then you've got Kansas City, which is like KC Masterpiece. It has a lot of sugar, molasses, different things going on with it that make it a lot sweeter. And then Memphis style barbecue kind of pushes and perpetuates that forward with a lot of its flavors. So it's one of those things where basically you're always trying to, you know, figure out throughout the, you know, culinary landscape of the Midwest and the South what barbecue style really should be king. And so that's why Kansas City is, yeah, it's the capital.
It's hot dog.
It's the capital, baby. Yeah. And so now we go to stateofdinner.com, famous food from Kansas. The first one up here, it's the great pot roast.
Huh? I love a good pot roast.
I do too. I go, especially if it's like beef bourguignon type, yeah, you know, just red wine.
Mm. Good Mm-mm. stuff. When farmers, my favorite worked, part is it's so easy to cook. That's
totally.
I love it.
It is. It's very, very easy
to cook. Set it and forget it.
Yeah. And it says here, when farmers worked all morning in the field, they looked expectantly to lunch to provide the sustenance to fuel the rest of their day. Often a meal would be started early before moving on to farm chores, allowing the meal to cook while they were working. Pot roast was a popular option because the meat and vegetables could cook all together and then be ready to eat as soon as they walked back through the door. Very true. Yeah. Some people crock pot their pot roast. Some people broil or braise it. Some folks put it in a pot and let it go. Me personally, I'm a braiser. I like to braise my pot roast.
Fancy.
Yeah, yeah. And if I don't include potatoes, I'm pretty sure my wife would cut off my right leg. Yeah. There was one time that I almost didn't include potatoes. And basically what happened was I was like cooking everything, and I had the pearl onions, the carrots. I think I added like something to it that I hadn't done before, whatever. And I thought in my head, oh, I'll add the potatoes later, like in the process, because I don't want them to get too mushy. And as I was doing that, I just, you know, blanked, and I forgot to do it. And so my wife was like, where are the potatoes? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I was supposed to add those in. And she just kind of gave me this look of like, if there's no potatoes, I will not eat this. Like, this will not occur. And we will start drawing up papers like, you better get this, you know, corrected. So I made
So I made
mashed potatoes on the side because I was like, I don't want to just like throw them in there. They're not going to cook long enough. Oh, God. So I made mashed potatoes on the side, and then you could put your pot roast with your carrots and onions and everything on the top with the sauce. And that was a great alternative. Thank God. yeah, because, man, I would be – everybody would be calling just left leg Devin. Jeez. I had not done it. She, you know, she looks sweet and innocent, but she drives a hard bargain at times, yeah. You know? She's, yeah, she just sits there and she's like, hey, did you make my toast correctly?
Yeah, as quick as hug you.
Exactly. She's a brutal little one. She, she'll come up to you and you think, oh, look at that, I'm going to get hooked. Then you shanked. You done.
Then you shanked.
But that won't happen in Kansas. You'll just get pot roast. Yeah. And then, yeah, the next one you'll move on to is their great whole wheat bread. That's right. Kansas is the wheat state. The first wheat crop was planted in Kansas in 1839, but it didn't grow well because of the hot and dry climate. The Mennonite immigrants introduced turkey red wheat to Kansas in 1864, and at that point, reproduction really grew. Turkey red wheat was a hardier plant that thrived in Kansas conditions because no one wants to live there. Kansas is now one of the largest producers of wheat in the nation. It grows enough wheat to produce more than 36 million loaves of bread each year. And I'm joking, Kansans. I lived right next door to you for years and years and years.
36 billion.
Yeah.
That's 36 billion. Lot of bread.
Yeah, that is a ton of bread. That's, I mean, seriously, like, there's only 7 billion people on Earth.
Yeah.
So, like,
whoa, it's a lot of bread.
It's a lot of bread.
Actually, here, man. I'm gonna figure this out. Hold on a second. Let me see here. So, all right. So,
36 billion divided by 7 billion.
Yeah, divided by 7. So, each person could get 5 1/4 loaves of bread just from the state of Kansas every year. Every person on Earth.
In the world. And there's a lot of people that don't eat bread.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, a lot of people don't eat bread, man.
A lot of the Asian countries are like, rice.
Bro. Yeah. Right. Right. So, give me mochi. Crazy. Give me, you know. Yeah. And then the next one here, this was a big thing. I don't know if you remember it or if this was a big thing for you, but I know when I was like 6 or 7 years old, this was a big thing, and you added gummy worms on top. Kansas dirt cake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. This was like a little
dirt
kid's
cake
dream.
Comes from Kansas. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I have no idea the history of Kansas dirt cake. There is no record of how it was originated or how it got its name, but we do know that Kansas has a lot of dirt, so maybe that had something to do with it. Some call this recipe Kansas City dirt cake, or you may know it as dirt pudding or dirt and worms. It is an easy-to-make dessert that kids and grown-ups love. And what is not to love about Oreos, pudding, and cream cheese? Yeah.
It's good stuff.
It is good stuff. It's, yeah. I just remember it with the gummy worms on top, and I was like, huh, like
I
Oreo?
I never connected it with, like, Kansas necessarily. I just thought it was oh, well, because Kansas has so much, like, farmland and dirt.
Right.
It's like, yeah, this is like a play on like their topsoil or whatever. Just like, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Here's a garden cake.
It came from Kansas.
Yeah, it's Kansas. Yeah. Wonderful state. They're like, here, have some sunflowers. Here, have all of our wheat. Here, have all of our dirt. And we're like, Kansas, please stop being so giving. You know, you got to have some for yourself here, you know. But going on to the Kansas state facts, the first one here, Kansas is the 34th state in the U.S. And believe it or not, we got here a county, Smith County. It is the geographical center of the United States, and it's in Kansas. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
The most
so that's where our capital
that you could
should
have
be.
Too.
Oh, I know.
Smith.
Yeah. Welcome to Smith County.
There's
what
15
accent
others
Smith
like
County?
Us. The one you just did, actually. Welcome to Smith County.
Yeah. Welcome to Smith County. We here are the geographical center of the United States. The capital should probably be here, but it isn't. And we're angry about it. And we're like, okay, slow down. Slow down, Smith County.
You're in Kansas.
Yeah, you're in Kansas.
Slow your roll.
Please. Yeah, and then the windiest city in the United States is not Chicago. It is Dodge City, Kansas.
I've heard this before.
Yes, and I have too. I've been through Dodge City. And they ain't kidding, man. It's just up like there.
So flat that
it is. It's so flat. Woo. Yeah, it's so flat, and it's on the like somewhat center to western side of the state. So there's so much flat land around it and surrounding it that it's just windy. Of course, I would say the windiest state, like period, is Wyoming. Oh my gosh. I have never experienced wind in any capacity crazier than Wyoming. That was whoa. But Kansas, yeah, Dodge City. You know, you got the old westerns that are basically, we're going to Dodge City. And then they show up and their hats are rolling across and they're like, no, give me my hat back. Yeah, that's what's happening. And then the topography of Kansas is literally flatter than a pancake. Yeah.
I don't like
literally
that fact.
Flatter than a pancake. Yeah, I think that fact is interesting.
But do you think it's flatter than a waffle?
Oh, definitely flatter than a waffle. Because waffle has horrid edges that you can cut your mouth on and all sorts of awful things.
Always complaining about waffles
I'm telling you. They waffle on everything. I mean, and when somebody is a waffler, awful person, right? They can't make up their decision. But if somebody's a pancake, everybody's like, oh, that's sweet.
It's sweet as the peach. They're so fluffy like a pancake.
Like a pancake. Look at
I
you.
Think two-faced backstabber. That's what I think.
Oh, that's not nice.
People can't be trusted if they're described as pancakes. Because they get flipped. That's why they're two-faced. I made a joke.
I did it. I created a diss with pancake. Yeah.
Had to do some digging for it, but
yeah,
we got there.
Yeah. Well, another great thing that Kansas gave us was really, really high voices because they founded helium. Helium was discovered at the University of Kansas in 1905, and we've been filling them with balloons in our vocal cords ever since.
Oh, what a waste. Everybody listening to the pod... contact your senators to end the use of helium for stupid birthday balloons. It's actually really important.
Yeah, yeah.
We need it for MRI machines.
Yeah, yeah. Famous people from Kansas includes good old Aaron Gerhart. That's the author of the article, the Kansas State Facts. Anyway, Amelia Earhart. Yeah, that's right. The flying baron, right? Yeah. Then you got old Hattie McDaniel, who was in Gone with the Wind and many other films, won a lot of Oscars. And then Walter Chrysler of the Chrysler Car Company, right? So old Walter, he was hanging out in Kansas, and he's like, how can I get across this flat land faster? And he made the car. And so we move on now to our favorite punching bag, foodnetwork.com, with what to eat in Kansas. And I say punching bag, they do an okay job. chicken fried steak. I love chicken fried steak.
Heck yeah.
Oh, man, it's good. You got diners abound in Kansas, and the dish of choice for those who visit should be chicken fried steak. Kansas diners like Jimmy's in Wichita make some of the best chicken fried steak in the country. Sorry,
gotta
Texas.
You got to make sure to get your breakfast gravy on there, too.
Yeah, yeah. Just like the one in the image here. You got to get the black pepper. Gravy. Yeah, you got to have the black pepper white gravy.
Yum.
Oh, yeah. And it's smothered in creamy gravy. Add sides of mashed potatoes and buttery corn with a light-as-air roll for the ultimate blue plate special. Yeah. More like a Devon special. Oh, man. See, I'm hungry now. I want that.
I would, yeah, every single time that I would do this podcast, if I were you, I'd be like, I guess I'm just going to go and make, like, whatever I just talked about.
I know, yeah. And then you got pie. Yeah, that's right. Just pie in general.
Pie in general, okay.
Pie in general.
Go off.
Yeah, yeah. you got pie here. You're looking at it because at harvest time in Kansas, farmers will work into the night, flipping on the combines, headlights to light the way. Farm wives often bring dinner to the fields, traditionally with a pie for dessert. Ladies on the farm are famous for making pie and passing along the recipes to succeeding generations. For those who find pie making a challenge, there are places like Bradley's Corner Cafe in Topeka, and they serve 25 different kinds of pie, both whole and by the slice. Coconut is the most requested, topped with a traditional meringue instead of whipped cream. Those closer to Dover should head for the Somerset Hall Cafe for a coconut cream pie, regarded as one of the best in the country. Wowza. Mm. Yeah. I like me a good coconut cream pie. I like it.
I'm not a huge fan of coconut, the flavor that it imparts on stuff, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay.
A lot of people are texture people. They're like,
the texture of coconut makes me feel like it's sandpaper.
And I'm like, it's good. It tastes good.
I kind of got to agree with them, though.
It's not the best. But anyway, the next one here, brown bread frozen custard.
you want bread for custard?
Frozen custard, okay.
Yeah. Huh. Brown bread may seem like a strange flavor for a rich, dense frozen custard, but not in Topeka. It was a popular ice cream flavor sold by the Bauman Ice Cream Company in the 1920s from their horse-drawn ice cream cart. It's flavored with brown sugar and vanilla with tiny bits of brown bread spread throughout. Today, G's Frozen Custard and Yogurt in Topeka sells the flavor, keeping it one of the capital city's iconic sweet treats. Yeah. Yeah, it's very good. Yeah, I definitely, the thing is, ever since I tried Salt and Straw's blue cheese with pear ice cream. Right.
I was explaining that to somebody just last week. Yeah. It was like, it's so weird, but it's good.
Yeah, it's like amazingly good, and you don't think it would be, but it fits so well. And so, brown bread?
It's, yeah, probably the same thing with that.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. And then the last food here for, well, one of the last foods for Kansas here. This is a sandwich that I made just like a couple weeks ago. And in the summer, I think you at least have to make it once. The BLT. Yep, your bacon, lettuce, tomato. You got a BLT represents the best of Kansas summers. Crisp, cool lettuce, a tomato warm from the garden, and local bacon seasoned, smoked, and then fried to its sizzling ideal. The Anchor in Wichita makes perhaps the best BLT in the state. Kansas-raised red wattle pork is made into apple-smoked bacon next door at the Douglas Avenue Chop Shop. Instead of the typical lettuce, the chef uses local arugula to add a peppery bite. So it's an ALT? It's alt? Is it alt-right? Oh, no. Which also brings out the flavor of the tomato. Everything is piled onto toasted sourdough bread for a stack of summertime in a sandwich. Very true. I love me a good BLT.
It is like such a summery sandwich too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've heard people say like, oh, it's really like a classy tomato sandwich. Like the bacon shouldn't be the star. It should be the tomatoes. And my answer is keep it simple. It's all three. Like make it good.
Yeah. No, you can't separate any of those pieces out. Like,
right.
They go together in that, so.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's one of those things. I like it with turkey bacon. I like it with regular bacon. I haven't tried it with vegan bacon because I don't want to ruin that thing, too. but, yeah. I can have a BLT anytime. And then steak, being in Kansas, you have to have steak. They have tons of cattle. Yeah, in a state where cattle outnumber people 2-1, steak is king, and it's mighty tasty. Few places prepare steak more luscious, that's Scotch and Sirloin in Wichita. In business since 1968, the restaurant only serves sterling silver certified beef that's aged a minimum of 30 days to guarantee tenderness. Each steak is cut in-house and seared in a 1600-degree broiler to make sure it is juicy and delectable.
Yum.
Yum.
Grab me the whole cow and just throw it in the broiler.
I love beef, so
yeah,
like all kinds of steak cuts. I like all of it.
I know, and you know, and people say all the time, cows are field dogs, right? They are so sweet and they're kind animals, And it's probably the number one reason why a lot of people go vegan is because they interact with cows and they're so nice and cuddly and, you know, they're cute, and especially when they're small, you know.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. And yet every time I see a steak, all of that in my mind anyways, it just goes out the window.
It just leaves.
Yeah, it's just like, boop, it just goes away. Okay.
Oh. I live.
Yeah, exactly. It's like my nose overrides everything. My nose is like, is that steak? Yeah. And then all the images in my mind are like, just like flutter away.
Like, but, no offense to anybody that is vegan, but.
No. Yeah. Yeah. If they could make a vegan steak that tastes as good as steak, yeah, I'd switch in a heartbeat. Like,
if they. Yeah. Okay. So, you know how they're doing like that? Like, they grow meat.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I'll go for that.
Right.
Mass produce that stuff. I'll stop eating live cows. Just, yeah. I still want to eat cow.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's better for the planet if we don't eat the cows as much. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that is Kansas. I mean, did you know all that about Kansas?
No.
Yeah.
I usually try and ignore as much. No, I'm kidding. Kidding.
I think most people like us who are not from Kansas, the thing that we always realize about Kansas is like, it's super flat. I hate driving across Kansas or Nebraska or any of these other states. And in reality, it's like if you live there, one, good farming land, right?
Great
and
farming
two,
land.
Two, if you're bored and stuff, what else are you going to do? You're going to eat. And you're going to eat good food. You're going to have good food. Yeah. That's what you do. Got to have those family get-togethers on that flat land, you know?
On that flat land.
But the next state we visit in our United Foods of America is the great, largest state, Alaska.
Alaska.
is that their anthem?
No,
their state anthem?
I don't think so. Okay, I don't think so. I think just Alaska's anthem is literally just a bear noise. That's all it is. That's all it is. The whole state, just they're like, oh, is that the anthem? It's like, no, bear noise.
that's a polar bear, actually.
Yeah, polar bear. Sorry, bud. Yeah. Oh, man. But we will see everybody next time in Alaska. Thank you, Joel, for joining me on our trip through Kansas.
Bye, Kansas.
Bye-bye, Kansas. Bye. And we will see everybody next time in Alaska. Goodbye. Everybody, goodbye. It's time to dance now. We're going to Alaska, not flatland now. Welcome to Alaska.
Time to override the outro.
See? Yeah. All right.
This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Rehm, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast, or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transitions, and outro music. Thank you.